Wait, no. We don't like that world. Different world, please. Ah, that's better. The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
Good morning and happy Saturday to everybody out there. This is the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN. I'm your host, Paul Metters, live here at First String Sports, as always. Love doing my show here. No other place where I'd rather do my show on Blackstone Avenue in between Herndon and Sierra. Do my show from the Letterman's Jacket Room off to the right-hand side. And, the store opens at 9 o'clock. And I get here just a little after 9, get everything ready to go, set up, computer, Comrex, speakers, iPad. And there was a mom that came in to pick up her son's Letterman jacket, I believe it's from Yosemite High School. She was so excited about seeing the Letterman's jacket for the first time. They souped it up here at First String Sports. She literally said, I almost cried. This thing is so beautiful. So that was great to see. That was a really good moment. So come on down here. Obviously, more than Letterman's jackets, they have equipment. They got a little bit of everything here. Baseball, softball, football, tons of good stuff. All right, First String Sports, they've been one of my day one sponsors. Love them down here. If you could follow me on Twitter, you can do that, at Paul Metters. You could also follow at 1430 ESPN. We got the weather report, sponsored by Lee's Air Plumbing and Heating. Right now, it's a nice, cool 63 degrees, high of 81. Can you believe that? 81 degrees. Tonight we are broadcasting the Division I Central Section Championship baseball game from Valley Strong Ballpark in Visalia, California. Pregame starting at 7 o'clock. Mike Brink and I will bring you all that excitement. We're going to be definitely breaking that game down on today's show. But 76 degrees is going to be first pitch at 7:30. 76 degrees, man. I've been to some championship games where it has been way too hot. And also, at Veterans Memorial Stadiums, the CIF State Track and Field meet. And I remember, I think it was before COVID, maybe 2018 or so, where they had to push everything back 1 hour because the heat was so bad. I think it was going to be 105 degrees, 106 degrees, so they pushed it back, but not today. Can you believe this incredible weather here in the Central Valley? We're truly blessed. All right, a couple things of note before I get into what we're going to talk about on today's show. I have some good news and some other news, maybe considered, mediocre news, I guess you could say. Next week will be my last show of the school year. So I'll be wrapping up the school year. I have in mind a top 5 stories of the year list, bring in some guests to wrap up all the cool stuff. And obviously there's a lot of championship stuff that's going on this last weekend, so bring in some guests, some great stories to be told. So that's my last show. I'll be taking a break. The good news is I've been renewed for year 4. So coming back for more. August 10th is the startup date for next year. So super excited about that. 1430 ESPN is happy and proud to be your local sports leader and to bring you all the great stuff that's happening up and down the Central Section in high school sports. So super pumped about that. And obviously we're going to be broadcasting high school football every Friday, high school basketball, selected games, and then baseball as well. All right, so what's going on today? So 2 hours of high school sports talk. We got Mike Brink coming up after the break. He's been my partner this year for high school baseball games. We'll be talking about that Clovis West and Liberty game at Valley Strong Ballpark tonight. Again, 7:30 is first pitch. We'll be broadcasting that game. So Clovis West, they had that great game, intense game, I should say, last Tuesday against Bullard. We came away with a 5-4 win, won it in 10 innings. We'll talk a little bit about that game. The way I frame it, to be honest, and if you've heard or if you're at that game, it was a little bit ugly. Clovis West, they advanced. They're playing in the title game tonight, but they won on an error. Unfortunately, Bullard made an error with 2 outs, allowed 2 Clovis West runners to score. Five errors for Bullard in that game, I believe two for Clovis West. But, it was a game that people will remember for a long, long time. So the Golden Eagles, they're looking for their first championship since 2004. They only have one in school history, and that was 2004. So they're playing a really good Liberty team. If you don't know about Liberty, we'll let you know about that team. Both Mike Brink and I had a nice conversation with their coach. So we're breaking that down. It's Tyler Patrick. Is he going to come in relief again? He's scheduled to start, but they had to bring him in that Bullard game because it was tight. Then you bring him in, so is he? I think he has maybe about four innings, a little over four innings available pitch. So I don't think he'll start, but he'll definitely be available out of the bullpen. So after Mike, and just before 11 o'clock, Lindsay head baseball coach Brett Kending is coming on. He's coached Lindsay for over 35 years. Cardinals are playing in the D6 title game just before the D1 championship game at 3:30. So looking forward to talk to Brett. He's a fan of the show. Love getting messages from him. So he's in the big one tonight or this afternoon. So looking forward to talk to him. At the top of hour number two, Kingsburg Baseball, they are in the house. Fresh off of their D3 title win on Thursday, they beat Fowler 8-0 for back-to-back titles. They were a top 8-10 team in the Central section, a base D4 team, so they went up to D3. So Coach Cranford's coming in, bringing in three players, Gunnar Gehringer, Bodie Verners, and winning pitcher Gavin Ekesian. We'll dive a little bit more into that stats, but the game that he pitched was one of the best games I've ever seen pitched on the highest level in the section championship game. That dude was incredible. He's a Fresno State commit. He's throwing BBs all game. Only gave up four hits. I want to save a few of his stats for later because, like I said, it was one of the most dominating games I've seen in a high-level competition game. Then at the bottom of hour number two, I should say, Josh Labandera, Labby, as you guys know him, former MLB player, current Boston Red Sox area scout, covers NorCal and obviously in the Valley, went to Fresno State, one of the best shortstops Fresno State has ever had. He's coming in. Tried to get him in all year, and finally, next to the last show of the year, he's able to come in. We're going to be breaking down some of the top players in the Central section, what it really takes to be a professional, what he looks for in high school players. He's going to have a lot of good information out there for you guys to listen to. I can't wait for you guys to hear what Labby has to say. All right, so like I mentioned, Liberty and Clovis West playing tonight at Valley Strong Ballpark. A lot of you guys say Rawhide. It used to be called Rawhide, but now it's Valley Strong Ballpark. And I got a lot of good memories of that place. My brother won a Central Section, or he played in a Central Section championship game there in 92 against Lindsay. So got some experience there. But 2015, I was writing for a newspaper. I was writing sports articles for the Clovis Roundup. And the year before was actually my first time writing an article for that paper. I had no idea what I was doing. No idea. Paid for my own ticket, sat in the stands, wrote a story. I had zero quotes after the game. I took one picture and it was through the screen with my iPhone. And wrote it, sent it off, and sure enough, they printed it. And that story was awful. It was terrible. Looking back at it, it was not a good story. So the next year, I go back, and it's to the championship game, and I needed a photographer. So I got my good buddy, who's the eighth grade teacher at our school. I teach fifth grade. He's the eighth grade teacher, had a nice camera. I'm like, throw you $30 or something. Can you come take some pictures? He's like, sure. By that time, I had a press pass. You get the lanyard, you put it on, you look official. But I didn't have one for him, didn't know what to do. I wanted field access for him or as close as possible. So after school on that day, he gets on the computer and just Googles how to make a press pass. So he finds this website that's literally going to print one for him. So he puts a picture of himself, a mugshot of himself on there. Types up some information, puts, I think, freelance photographer on there. Just had all these boxes of information for him to put in there. And there's one that said barcode. I was like, sure, I'll click on barcode, no problem. puts in all the information, prints it out, laminates it, puts it on a lanyard, like, all right, we're going to roll with this thing. It looked semi-professional, I guess. I mean, for some type of a bootleg that you get off the internet. So we meet up in Visalia, and I got mine, press pass, and he's wearing his. So we're like, okay, it's do or die. Let's go for it. So we wait by the gate. They wave us in. Okay. We're past the first checkpoint, I guess. So as we're walking slowly, some of the security guards are talking to themselves. And they're like, hey, man, you got to make sure that, you know, the media is here and there. And, you know, some people might try to get in. You got to look for their passes and stuff. He's all, as we're walking by, he goes, man, look at these two guys. Look at this guy right here, man. That press pass, that thing looks official. Let that guy in, right? Or those press passes, let those guys in, man. That looks official. And it's the bootleg press pass. So, I mean, that was a while ago. That was 2015. So I'm sure they've tightened up security since then. So he still has that bootleg press pass up, and we look at that every once in a while, and like, man, that was some wild stuff there. So anyway, that's our press pass story when I think of Valley Strong Ballpark, Rawhide Stadium. So good stuff there. I want to break down a couple games here. We got a few minutes here. Actually, time's flying. Baseball 2 finals played last night. Bakersfield Christian defeated number 9 Atascadero. Bakersfield Christian was the 2 seed. They beat them 4-2. I mentioned the Kingsburg over Fowler, 8-0 in the D3 championship game. And then another one. How about this? In D5, number 3 Shafter defeated Torres, 8-0. Same score as Kingsburg and Fowler. Why is that significant? Well, if you go back, you remember Shafter and Torres, what happened in football in their playoff game. It was the semifinals, the game that ended awkwardly. That's one way to put it, where Torres was lining up in overtime to kick the extra point to continue the game. Bad snap, quarterback, the kicker actually picked it up, scrambling around, threw it into the end zone, was caught. Unfortunately, it was the center, but they allowed it. And all types of controversy and, you know, all types of talk on the radio and Twitter about that game. But the baseball team took care of business. They won the D5 championship. So congrats on them. Today at 12 o'clock in Visalia, Liberty Madera in Division 4 is taking on number 7 Independence. Liberty Madera, that's when I saw the brackets, Liberty Madera, that it was them against the house, right? Against the field, I should say, in that one. And I'm taking Liberty Madera. So big, big, big favorites in that one. And D6, like I mentioned, Lindsay and Chavez at 3:30. Softball tonight. Softball championships. Margie Wright Diamond. All 6 of the championship games are being played there. Number 1 Central, defending champs, against number 2 Clovis North. Those two teams split 3-4 and 7-6. Favored Central. I should say Central lost 3-4 and won 7-6. So that's going to be a big one. That's one of the big ones in town. So check that out. Margie Wright Diamond, Central, and Clovis for the D1 championship. In D2, St. Joseph defeated number 10 Menachi 4-0. In D3, Taft, number 1 Taft versus Bakersfield Christian at 4:30. D4, Mission Prep is going to play number 3 Pioneer Valley. Mission Prep is the top seed. And D5, Woodlake against Porterville. And D6, Napomo defeated Avenel 8-1. Like I mentioned, CIF state track and field events are going today. The prelims were yesterday. Today are the finals. Got some favorites. Got some dudes we want to give shout-outs to. Kay Madsen, Braden Bitter, 2 studs on the Clovis North football team. They're both throwers. Expected to perform extremely well, number 1 and number 2 in the shot put. Derek Smith from Buchanan is number 1 in discus, and McKay Madsen is number 2 in that. We've got a couple other relay teams that are expected to medal. So in next week's show, the last one of the school year, hopefully we'll have some winners, some podium, some medal winners and that we'll give shout outs to. All right, after this break, we're going to be talking with Mike Brink. He and I are going to be broadcasting the Liberty and Clovis West baseball game tonight. Really excited about that. So Mike Brink is coming up next. You're listening to 1430 ESPN.
River Park.
bringing us in here. Live from First String Sports. I'm Paul Metters. Central Valley Sports Report. Baseball heavy show today. Championship games are to be played. The big one that we are broadcasting tonight on 1430 ESPN. Half an hour of pregame. I'm super pumped about that. Starting at 7 o'clock. First pitch at 7:30. My partner in crime this year on the baseball radio waves has been Mike Brink. We've had a lot of fun. We've seen a lot of good baseball games, and we're super pumped to bring you tonight's game. All right, Mike, how excited are you about tonight's game, man? I woke up this morning. I'm like, yeah, this is going to be a lot of fun. This is going to be a great day of high school sports.
Oh, yeah. This is what we start the year for, right? To try to get ourselves better on radio so that we can get to this championship game as well. And I look forward to it. It's going to be hard to top last year's final, but we definitely have two teams with Liberty and Clovis West in that final game that could possibly top that, with a hot-hitting Liberty team with 40 home runs on the year, and a team in Clovis West that, you know, in the last month and a half has just really turned it on offensively, and, you know, obviously led by Tyler Patrick, the track MVP. But we've got a good one scheduled, and actually before that, you know, Liberty and Independence, which I'm sure you talked about, and then Lindsay and Chavez, and other championship games going on at noon and 3:30 there at Valley Strong. And then, obviously, the congratulations goes out to Kingsburg, Bakersfield Christian, and Shafter for their championship. So it's championship week. It's always exciting. It's a memory that kids will take with them for the rest of their lives and whatever they do. And it's always a fun day in each sport, you know, on championship Friday, Saturday, Sunday, whatever the day is, it's always a great day.
No, it is. And, you know, I get the same feeling when we're about to broadcast a championship football game or a Celand Arena, those great games at Celand Arena where you're able to just sit back and watch basketball and watch all these championship games and the thrill of victory and the agony of defeat. And we definitely saw that, Mike. I want to go back a bit to that Wild Clovis West and Buller game. The atmosphere was electric. I mean, at Stan Bledsoe Field, it was standing room only. All the dads, you know, what they like to do, they like to perch themselves, standing up against the back concrete wall there. But the student section was great. And, you know, just kind of we've had a few days to reflect on that game. Obviously, I mentioned in opener, it ended, unfortunately, on an error for Bullard. You know, Clovis West was able to score two runs in the bottom of the 10th inning. But, I mean, what a poorly played in some aspects baseball game that was one of the most intense baseball games I've ever watched as well, man. That game was a grind, but, man, I was happy to be able to broadcast that game with you. And, you know, for those players in that game, they're not going to forget that game for a while either.
No, you're definitely right. And, you know, it was kind of an odd ending to that, right, with the intensity that went on for, you know, seven plus innings. We're going to extra innings. We kind of talked about it. Let's just play all night, right? But, you know, Bullard answered there with the home run by Porter, you know, midway up the trees and right there, Clovis West, Stan Bledsoe Field. And then, you know, the never say die Golden Eagles, you know, that with one out, they string together a couple knocks and pass ball. And then the unfortunate throwing mistake there in you know, the last inning there to end it was, you know, you felt for the Bullard team who fought to, you know, get back against a tough Tyler Patrick on the mound, the guy that, you know, Clovis West won on the mound, and the guy you really don't want to see, but yet they, you know, they battled hard, Bullard did, and fought to the end there. And very intense game, and we kind of talked about it in the pregame that, you know, some of those students over there off of, you know, Herndon and West and the Luvio, they kind of, they're neighbors. You know, that was part of the district, you know, in the 80s when Clovis West, or 79 or 80, when Clovis West opened. So that rivalry has been there. It's just been a natural rivalry. And, you know, with Tom Donald over at Bullard, you know, it ratcheted up a little bit just because he is a former track coach. And so, you know, any kid or coach that, you know, goes up against Tom is, you know, they want to get the best of him. So, but you're right, electric. I haven't seen that in the stands in many, many years. And it's just, it was a fun environment to be around. It's, you know, we were up in the booth, so with the headsets on, you don't really hear it all, but it would have been fun to actually sit in the stands on that one because it was definitely intense. And, you know, both sides were, yaying and booing on every pitch, you know, every strike or ball call for or against them, right? And, yeah, it was a wild one and a true classic in the sense that it went, you know, the extras in a playoff game. Maybe not so much the all-around play, but definitely one that if you were at, you'll remember.
Absolutely. I want to stick with Clovis West here. They're playing in their first championship game since 2018, and unfortunately their last six times that they've gone to the Division One Central Section Final, they've lost all six. They only have that one in 2004, game that we talked about. Mike Cola threw a no-hitter against Fresno High. That's their last one. So they got another shot here with Coach Kevin Patrick. Let's get into some of the strengths of Clovis West, right? And we saw their three best pitchers. They had to use all three in the win against Bullard. I'm sure it will be an all-hands-on-deck game tonight for the Golden Eagles. But they got some good players. You mentioned Tyler Patrick, who's just released. He's the track MVP, no doubt about that, the player of the year, has six home runs on the season, has a sub-2 ERA, headed to Fresno State. That guy has made leaps and bounds, at least at the dish this year and also on the mound. But, I mean, like Mark Anthony Carroll, solid second baseman hitting leadoff. You know, they got some other good players that they've rallied around this season. So what are some of Clovis West's strengths going into tonight's game?
Well, I will say this, that they're starting nine. It would be hard-pressed to find a better starting nine the way they've played, like I said, last month or so. The one that no one really talks about that I've been more and more impressed with is the first baseman, Ray Peraza. I mean, he's just been outstanding with the glove, a couple real nice plays, a hard hit ball at him early in that ball game that he stuck with, and, you know, but played a really good defense and came up with a base hit late in the ball game. Placencia in left field has been a stud. Mateo Martinez really impressed me with his glove, especially going to the ball towards home plate, throwing on the run. Really good job. Santos out of the bullpen. Santillan, you know, the newcomer for the Eagles, came in from Emmanuel, has been really solid for them defensively at shortstop. And anytime that, you know, like they say, up the middle, your pitcher, your catcher, shortstop, second baseman, center field, if you're solid there, you're going to be reckoned with. And they're definitely solid up the middle. And, you know, the crazy thing is Tyler Patrick's not really the starting catcher. It's kind of a funny thing because they do try to rest that arm a little bit, right, because he is their horse. But, you know, you could add him to the catcher and, you know, might make you a little bit stronger one way or another, but they've been solid all year long and just a fun team to watch. They don't make a lot of mistakes, right? And it's hard to beat a team like that. I wish we would have gotten the chance to see Liberty a little bit more, but after talking, you know, with the Taft coach, both you and I both got some time with him in the last couple of days. Coach Mills, a phenomenal coach, real down to earth and, you know, just really outgoing guy and really personable about his players and cares a lot. So, I you know, that Clovis West team, it's going to be hard to beat. Maybe the neutral location kind of balances out for both teams who don't play in the largest ballparks. You know, you and I talked about that throughout the year. Clovis High, Central, you know, those are more of the true symmetrical ballparks as far as distance-wise and big ballparks. And when you get out of there, you know that you've earned it there, right? So, you know, people have said, oh, well, he plays in Bakersfield. Oh, you play at a track school, right? And that's why you guys are hitting home runs. Well, tonight we're going to see. We'll see if the power for Liberty is true. We'll see if Clovis West can add a little pop to that lineup, who has 12 home runs on the year versus the 40 that Liberty has. So, you know, is that the reason? Because you play down in Bakersfield, maybe the ball flies a little bit better, the parks are different. But tonight, you know, it's going to come down to the pitching. You know, and I think Clovis West will have that same rotation that they had last game, going in, starting the game probably with Turley again, and then Patrick, if needed, early. I think he's got 4 1/3 innings left, and then Brody Santos. So Santos maybe go second, and then Patrick. And then, you know, again, like you said in the opening of this, it's all hands on deck. I mean, anyone that's got a P next to their position name might be on the board tonight, because there's no tomorrow. You're playing for that title, for that ring, for your school, the pride of your, you know, league, right? We got two leagues here, and Bakersfield has the trophy, and Clovis Unified and Fresno, they want that thing back. So it's gonna be a good one. I'm ready to leave at noon to get there.
I know. I'm with you too. I keep going back and forth. What time am I gonna leave Fresno? Get there? Am I gonna eat dinner down there? You know, what's gonna be my protocol for today? Yeah, Mike, you hit on a lot of really good points here. We're gonna talk about breakdown Liberty a little bit more. I'm curious. You know, we watch a lot of track baseball, and even in that Bullard and Clovis West game, we kept saying, another bunt situation's coming up, right? It seemed like 8 or 9 times different bunt situations, and sure enough, they bunted, right, or at least attempted to. And so Clovis West, they're not afraid to bunt, and I think 1 through 9, their lineup is very, very solid compared to Liberty's. I think they're pretty top-heavy. But that's something to look for, look at this game, because I don't think Liberty – we'll find out, right? I don't think they're going to be a small ball type team when they need to be a small ball type team. So Clovis West definitely, I think, has an advantage in that way. You mentioned the ballpark. It was very interesting to when we talked to Coach Mills. You and I talked to him on separate occasions, but how he talked about the dimensions. It faces a different way. Their ballpark faces south, right? And when you get that Bakersfield wind going with those short porches in left and right, if you get that ball, man, you get into that jet stream. A pop-up to second base could be adventure, could even fly over the fence, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I can only attest to Centennial Field, right? It's almost like when they built the school, which is beautiful. All of them are beautiful schools down there, kind of the cookie cutter. You know, I think it's the same builder, Dave Bush, on all of them. And it's like they said, well, there's a little corner over there, and we'll put the baseball or softball diamond in that corner. And so you may have ran out of room. I believe in Centennial, there's a water source that goes through right field. And so you had to stop the fence at some point before that, right? So well, tonight there's not going to be any of that, right? It's
yeah.
A true ballpark with very, very high walls. And, you know, like we saw last year, the young man from Centennial, right fielder, you know, late in that ball game, lifting one out of there that I thought was going to be off the wall, off the bat, and that thing just kept rising into the night. And local hero there in Bakersfield. So we'll see if Bakersfield's got a new hero in their lineup today, or Clovis West can surface and try to get that second title for the Golden Eagles and their school. But yeah, definitely going to be a good one. Liberty's got some big boppers, and Brock Thompson. You got Caden Churchman, okay, 30 RBIs in Churchman. Thompson's got 33 RBIs, 9 homers, right? And so those are two guys definitely with the heavy bat that you're going to have to watch out for. And then Coach Mills was really bragging about a guy that's just really been growing lately on the field is Grant Voss, a youngster with good bat speed. He's going to go to Oklahoma Christian after this senior year. Only hitting .263, but 9 homers, 20 RBIs. And when you're hitting around Thompson and Churchman, to still have 20 RBIs is very impressive. And then Spinehauer also 4 home runs, 22 RBIs, who's heading to Hancock. And then Brock Thompson is heading to Oklahoma State. So that's something that just kind of slipped by. And I was like, whoa, how did I miss that when I spoke with Coach Mills that you know, you're not going to Oklahoma State because you're average, right? And so this is going to be a good one. And then on the mound, we're going to see Chance Garrickey. Churchman threw, Thursday, was it? Or Tuesday?
Yeah, Tuesday.
And so Garrickey on the mound today, and he said he there's a chance that his brother, freshman, could also throw in this ball game. So, again, if you have a P next to your name, you're in a position. You're probably going to be in this ball game, and Brock Thompson could actually – close this game out. I believe he's got 12 innings, and he kind of said that that's kind of our closer if we need to go to him. So,
yeah, and one interesting thing. I mean Liberty's got a loaded ball club as far as their bats go. I want to mention something really quick, Mike. But Garecki, who's starting, he's a junior starting on the mound. In 66 innings, he has 30 walks. So that's kind of a high amount of walks. I know Clovis West, this will be, our fourth game that we're going to be broadcast for Clovis West. They have some really good at-bats. They know how to take at-bats and take pitches. Situational hitting is excellent all season. So 30 walks in 66 innings going against that pitcher. So that could be a factor as well.
Yeah, definitely. You know, Clovis West is disciplined with Pat Hill's, Pat Hill. I wasn't going to thank Pat Hill and all the others that worked with you this year, but with Pat Ware, you know, the hitting plan that, you know, a year ago they implemented, and it's coming to fruition now with a lot of those veteran players. And, you know, when they're sitting on something or they're not sitting on something, they may be taking a strike, you know, forcing the issue on guys that might be walk heavy. So it's, that'll be an interesting thing to follow tonight is the walks. And then if you're going to walk us, are we going to move them over, you know, with the bunt, like you said? There was so many opportunities in that last game, and nine for sure, I believe, that we kind of counted along the way that could, you know, within 90 feet could play a major factor in this ball game. Sometimes, you know, you say put the ball in play, but the bunt sometimes is the hardest thing to go get, field, and make a good throw, you know, against some speedy runners that Clovis West does have. So, I mean, this is two of the better teams at the right time. And, you know, with 16-game win streak for Liberty, I don't care what league you're in, right? When you're winning 16 along the way, that's very, very impressive.
Absolutely.
And that league's not a soft league. So
no, it's not.
16 is, yeah, you're doing something.
Absolutely, yeah. And Liberty is the 2 seed for Division I, and Clovis West is the 1 seed. And we'll see tonight, Mike. I'm really looking forward to calling the game with you tonight. So first pitch at 7:30, pregame at 7 o'clock. Mike, I'm sure I'll be texting you in the next couple hours, and we'll be making plans to go to Visalia and call that game. Good job by you, my friend. I'll talk to you soon.
Hey, thank you. And get everybody to get in their cars and head south to go support this, because these kids deserve it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. That's Mike Brink, going to be broadcasting the game with him tonight. All right. Coming up next, we got Lindsay coach Brett Kendig. His Cardinals are playing at 3:30 for the Central Section Championship game. So we'll hear from him. You're listening to 1430 ESPN. Back. Central Valley Sports Report, 1430 ESPN. Local sports leader, I'm Paul Metters, live here at First String Sports. Had a good conversation with Mike Brink. He and I will be calling the Clovis West and Liberty Championship game in Visalia, pregame at 7. First pitch at 7:30. Now we're going to be talking with Brett Kendig, the head baseball coach at Lindsay High. The number 5 Cardinals are playing today at 3:30. So, yeah. Not too far away, about 5 hours or so in Visalia for the D6 title, playing Chavez, the number 2 seed. Been coaching there for a while. So Brett, always love his messages. He sends me DMs all the time on Twitter, you know, nice encouraging notes. And he's been a fan of the show, and obviously a fan of high school sports for a long time. So, Coach, first of all, congratulations on making it this far in the championship game. How you doing this morning? How you feeling?
Well, thank you, Paul. I'm feeling great, man. Had a nice little workout this morning and good breakfast and ready to roll.
So what is the agenda for today? Again, the game starts at 3:30. You guys going to meet, drive together, have a team lunch, you're going to do some batting practice. What's the rest of the morning and early afternoon look like for you?
Well, last night we had a little dinner at our local establishment here in town, Tina's Restaurant, so today, we're pretty much just hitting the bus about 12:45. We're heading over to Redwood. Thanks to Coach Neil at Chavez. He got a hold of the Redwood staff, and they got us on over there to take a little BP before the game. And then probably roll into Valley Strong about 2:10 or so. And just depending on how the game before is done, we'll be ready to go.
So playoffs to get there, the road to there, pretty tight after an opening 7-0 win over Riverdale. You beat Rosemont 2-1. And then the big one, you guys went on the road, a rivalry that's been going on for a long time, ever since the old East Sierra League in the 80s and 90s. You played Woodlake, the top seed, and you guys came away with a shutout win, 2-0. I want to walk through that Woodlake win, right? So who'd you have on the mound? What was your preparation against that strong Tigers team, and how'd you guys end up with the win?
Well, we had our main man, John Mosqueda, on the mound that day. He's a 4-year varsity player. He's a very good pitcher. I think he's 8-3 this year. And He pitched a really solid game against him earlier in the year, but the game ended up going 9 innings, and he had a no decision in that game. It's kind of funny. John has an exceptional breaking ball, and the last 2 weeks it hasn't been on too as well as we would like. So we pretty much did away with the breaking ball and probably went about 85% fastball, 15% change, and John just was on. I think the two balls got out of the infield that day, and he had 10 Ks, no walks, he didn't hit a batter, so it's pretty good recipe for success right there.
How'd you guys score your two runs in that one?
Well, we played a little St. Louis Cardinal baseball. For our second run, I'm trying to think about the first one, but the second one, we lead off walk, pass ball, sacrifice bunt, sacrifice fly to make it 2-0. So we've been working on the short game all year, and it finally paid off when we needed it. Yeah, our first run, we had a sophomore second baseman, Nate Lopez, line the ball to left to score a pinch runner. That's from the JVs after Bailey Brown doubled to lead the inning off. I believe that's how we scored the first run.
Well, you guys are playing today at 3:30 in the D6 Central Section title day. We're talking to Coach Brett Kendig. So how many total Central Section titles for Lindsay? I know that 1992 won very well, but was the last one in 2018?
Yeah, 2018 was the last one. And then we actually won three in a row, 90, 91, and 92. In 92, I know Coach Ramirez was on that team, and we talked about it a lot. And that spurred Manuel on to win in 93, I believe.
Yeah, and that game was played at then Rawhide Stadium there in Visalia. And I want to ask you, too, how many games have you coached on that in Visalia?
Well, that one in 92 and then the one in 18. So this will be the third one. Actually, helped coach the Exeter All-Star game there. So probably about the fourth time maybe.
Do you talk to the team about the dimensions? Obviously, it's a pro ballpark. There's not a lot of rooms in foul territory. There's not a lot of room behind home plate. It's a very intimate stadium. The walls are very high. It's 405 to center field. The outfield can look really, really big. Do you talk to your team at all about the dimensions and how they might play differently from the ballparks that you play in?
Yeah, definitely, especially in the outfield. We had some problems in 18 with some fly balls that were we thought were routine fly balls at the time. And I'm not quite, it's hard to figure out what the problem was that day, but it's obviously much bigger, much more room to roam out there. So we did some things like bring our outfielders in a little bit tighter and then hit fly balls, and had them running a little bit more, things like that. But when it comes down to it, I'm not going to talk too much about the things. We just got to keep our guys calm and go out and play ball the best we can.
Well, it's still 90 feet base paths, and, it's still the same dimensions as far as the infield is concerned. What do you know about your opponent tonight? They're 18-12, talking about Chavez. Are they going to be able to throw their ace, or what are some of the strengths that your opponent has today?
Well, they have very good pitching. They're able to throw their breaking balls at any time, so that's something we haven't quite seen as much lately. We've seen guys with good breaking balls, but not the kind that can just throw it any time they want. I feel Chavez pitchers can do that. They have a very fast team. They're going to steal some bases. They got a little bit of pop from certain guys. Get a big left-handed bat. And they're very well coached. Coach Neal, he's a great coach, and we haven't played each other in I think over 10 years or so. So we don't know much about each other as far as that goes. But they play in a great league with Taft and Wasco and Shafter, who just won last night. So they're going to be ready. They're a very good team.
So what are your team's strengths? Who are some of your star players that you're counting on today?
Well, obviously, our ace, John Mosqueda, he has 3 innings left in him. So there's a good chance we're going to roll with him to start the game. It's going to be see how he feels when we get out there today because, he's thrown a lot lately, and we got to take care of his health. He's going to be going on and playing at Porterville College, so. Today's big, but we got to make sure he's 100% healthy to go out there. We have Anthony Mosqueda, his cousin, who will probably pitch some solid innings today. And then we also have Bailey Bounds. So we're kind of a three-headed monster as far as pitchers go. And they're all seniors. They're all very solid young men. And they're ready to compete. Defensively, at shortstop, we have J.J. Vasquez. All these guys that we have that are seniors right now, or five of them, they've been on the team since they were freshmen. They all experienced, went through COVID. We didn't have a JV team when they were freshmen. And they kind of got rushed up to the varsity right away. And it's definitely been a journey, because it was a really tough time for those guys. And to get here and be where we're at today, it's just so cool for those guys, because high school started in a very strange way for them, unlike nobody else. So to see them kind of living the real high school dream is really awesome.
No, absolutely. And, you know, COVID played a major role in these high school athletes' lives. And no excuses sometimes, but I think we forget how much these kids have gone through. Their freshman year was pretty much wiped out. These seniors started off their year on Zoom classes, and so they've just gone through a lot. So really proud of all the seniors up and down the central section, but also really proud of Lindsay. Go ahead, Coach.
Yeah, no doubt about that. I mean, just think about all the years I graduated in 1982, and there's like no one's ever gone through that experience. So had to kind of take it easy on these guys for a couple years. And I know last year when they were juniors, I finally one day I just had to say, look, guys, COVID's over. We got to toughen up. We're not tough enough right now. We got to make some adjustments. So, it was kind of a funny thing, but it was the truth, too.
Well, here you are playing in the championship game at 3:30 against Chavez. I want to ask you about your career a little bit. You're a Lindsay guy through and through. So how many years exactly have you coached, and what are all the sports that you've coached there at Lindsay?
Well, I actually graduated in Wausau, and almost everyone thinks I graduated at Lindsay. So it's kind of crazy because I've been here 35 years. I always wanted to kind of – Lindsay was always in my thoughts, and my uncle, Don Perales, who was a legendary basketball coach at Lindsay for 39 years. So I always kind of wanted to follow in his footsteps. So that ended up happening. So this is my 35th year at Lindsay. I was an assistant coach in baseball for 10 years under John Morelli. That's when we had all that success in the early 90s. Later I went on 6 years as a JV coach. And then my daughters came along, and I took a hiatus for – varsity softball for 8 years, had a great time coaching a lot of great young ladies. And then in 2014, I finally was able to get that dream coaching job that I was looking at for so many years, getting back to be the head coach at Lindsay. And we won 3 games that year, and it probably was one of the most satisfying coaching years I've ever had, because we had one senior, and those guys worked so hard, and we just weren't real talented at that moment. And every year it's been a little bit better, and we've been able to sustain what we've been doing. And, this year was something we thought we could get back to the Valley. But this group, they've never really talked about it. Our 18 group, boy, oh, my God, since they were in eighth grade, that's all they talked about was going and being a Valley champ. So really contrasting group of kids, Again, it's probably something to do with COVID again, but. I coached volleyball for 8 years when my daughters were in school. I was the head girls basketball coach way back in the early 90s for a few years. JV boys basketball for 8, 9, 10 years. Really fun career coaching JV football. Coach Morelli and I actually worked together as JV football coaches, so we have a great relationship through all those times, doing many things together, and I'm sure he'll be at the game today rooting us on.
You've had quite a career, Coach, and you're playing today for a D6 Central Section title at 3:30. You're playing Chavez. So thank you, Coach. Appreciate you. And I hope to get there in time to watch you guys celebrate and talk to you a bit before we broadcast the D1 game. But you're a fixture at the school. Appreciate you and how you've poured yourself into the student-athletes at Lindsay High. And you've seen a lot of generations of Lindsay Cardinals coming through, and keep going at it, my friend.
We're going to do our best. I got to have a shout out for the Golden Eagles today. I coached freshman ball there 3 years back in college. So, yeah, Pat Ware and the boys get it done today, too.
Well, the Strongs in all sports in the Central Valley are certainly tight. So thanks again, Coach, for coming on, jumping on this busy day, and good luck tonight.
I appreciate you, Paul. Take care, buddy.
All right, you too. All right, Coach Brett Kendig, as Lindsay Cardinals are taking on Chavez at 3:30. We love our rural schools and our one school towns as well, and you know the coaches that pour into student athletes throughout their careers as well. So he's one of the good ones. All right, we're going to take a break here a little after 11 o'clock. We're going to bring in the 2024, the back-to-back Division III baseball champion, Kingsburg Vikings in the house. You're listening to 1430 ESPN.
World. Different world, please.
That's better. The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN, live here at First String Sports on Blackstone Avenue in between Herndon and Sierra. And we got some dudes in the house right now, live here at First String Sports. We got Kingsburg Baseball, back-to-back D3 champs after defeating Fowler 8-0 on Thursday night. Coach Jim Cranford is here, brought some players. We got Bodie Verners, Gunnar Gehringer, and winning pitcher Gavin Akeesian. He's waiting on the wings, man, so we don't have enough headsets. We'll be hearing from Gavin in about 10 or 15 minutes or so. I do have to mention, man, Gavin threw one of the best games, I mentioned earlier, in Central Section history, in my opinion, one of the best I've ever seen. I've seen a no-hitter thrown for Clovis West, Mike Cola in 2014. I've seen Grant Gambrell beat Clovis North in a shutout at Valley Strong Ballpark, but the dude threw a complete game, 11 Ks, zero walks, four hits, a bunch of other cool stats I'll bring up in just a second. But anyway, boys, how are we doing on this fine Saturday morning? You guys woke up again. What, day number two waking up as back-to-back champs. How's it feel?
I think it feels great.
Yeah, it feels great. Always winning feels great, so.
And you guys got your bling with you, so you got your rings from last year. Obviously, we're on the radio here, but describe – Buddy, maybe you can start. Describe what the last year's championship ring looks like.
On the face of it, we got like a diamond. We got some bases, and then we got a K in the middle. It says Valley Champs on it. On the side, we got our name, the CIF symbol, and then your number. The other side, we have our school motto, Burn the Boat. The bottom of it, we got our record, which was 28-6. And on the inside is probably the coolest part. It says Found a Way.
Are they individualized? You got your names on it, or are they all...
Yeah, mine says Verners with my number, and Gunners says Gehringer.
So, Coach, what do you think about those rings, man? Those are something else.
They're big. They're big.
Do you bust them out very often, or you got them in a nice display case, maybe on your dresser?
I keep mine in the box it came in. I only wear it on like certain occasions, like today.
All right, good call.
Yeah, I have mine in the truck all the time, so whenever I need it, I just whip it out.
You have it on call?
Oh, I always have it on call.
All right, so you guys win. You know, you guys defeat Fowler. You guys celebrate on the field. You go back there, take pictures, and celebrate. You're the last game of the day. Cool feeling, right? So what do you guys do afterwards? You guys go get some food? Are you guys starving? You guys have a victory dinner? What do you guys do?
I mean, I was hungry. I went to Cane's, but the other guys went to In-N-Out.
Yeah, most of the team went to In-N-Out. But then we met back at the high school and went to one of our teammates' houses just to – hang out and just have a good time there, just reminisce the game and everything.
And then school the next morning,
of course.
For some of us, about half went, half didn't.
A few of us slept in a little bit.
That's the deal, right? You play a championship game on Thursday, right? One hand, you want to go to school, you want to celebrate, you want to be the dudes on campus, but yeah, you're a little tired. Maybe you earned it. I'm an educator, so I don't know if I should have said that, but yeah, I totally get it. Let me just put it that way. All right, so I want to talk a little bit about the game itself. We talked off air the difference between last year's game, Dos Palos 7-5. You guys jumped out to a big league. They kind of kept themselves in the game. They had a couple sticks last year. Compared to going into this game, I'm just talking more about playing, being relaxed, playing on that field. Was there a difference between going into last year's game and this year's game?
Last year's kind of like a mystery because we knew on Max Preps what they were capable of. But we also saw things like their strength of schedule and also the ballpark they play in. Whereas this year, we kind of like, we knew what Fowler was about, who they had, who their guys were. We had a little more information on them. And then our nerves weren't really there this year.
Yeah, I feel like playing there at the Horahide Stadium for the second time, it was a lot better for us. Like, I mean, nerves are still there, but we played there before, so we know how that field is. We also play out a big field on our home stadium, so we kind of know where to set up and everything. So I feel like going into this game was a lot better. We had, like, more drive to, like, defeat Fowler after being down to them two games in the Easter Classic Championship. So we had something going for us right there.
Yeah, that game was a couple years ago, right, yeah. That championship game. So you guys jumped out early with a 3-0 lead in the first inning. You got five, I think, in the fourth inning, right, for your eight runs. Bodie, what do you think – what was the key play in the entire game? Is there one play that sticks out to you that, like, yeah, this, you know, we kind of got over a hump in this game?
Obviously, there was Houston's home run. I thought that was a big, like, momentum shift because we scored the three in the first, and then second and third we put up zeros, and Houston kind of started us off with that big hit. But I also really liked his on the run short hop play, because I thought that kind of just like sealed the deal that, like, we're not making errors, we're dialed in, and we're gonna win this game.
Yeah, it's a good point, right? You talk about the offense and scoring those runs, but defensively, you guys played a really solid game, and that was a play that Houston came up and just, like he's done probably a million times in practice, right, came up and made a good throw. Gunner, what about you?
I feel like Houston's bomb, of course, but scoring those three runs right away, putting the pressure on them to have to respond to that. And so I feel like getting ahead right away kind of set the momentum for us, kept us going, and then, of course, Houston hitting that and us scoring runs right after that, just keeping the pedal to the metal right there, keeping it down.
Coach, what about for you as you know, frame the baseball game? You might have a different perspective than the player. So for you, what was like a moment in the game you're like, hey, we're playing really good baseball. If we can keep it like this, we're gonna look good.
I think it was a bomb. It was the home run that Houston hit. Just kind of, you could see the wind go out of their sails, and then the kids tacked on a couple more, and then Gavin kept attacking his own, and they could never really get anything going. I mean, you know, I don't think they got a runner past first base, and it just, you know, it's an old group. They've been around for a long time, and they know what it takes to win. They're committed. They're focused. They have fun. They have a lot of fun, but they really work hard. So, I mean, it's a good group.
I wanted you, Coach, to talk about each one of these guys individually and what they've meant to the program. They're both seniors, so they're moving on after this year. Work's not done, actually. We got state playoffs coming up. We're going to find out tomorrow who you're going to play in the state playoffs. But start with your catcher. Just found out that, you know, I asked him when he started to play catcher, and he's like, kind of like my eighth grade freshman year. I was the only one that had the gear. You guys were looking for a catcher. But talk about him and what he's meant to the program.
I think Bodie's caught every inning this year with the exception of a couple. So he's been behind the plate. He's handled all the pitchers. He's definitely one of the guys that's full of vinegar on our team, enjoys practice, enjoys life. And he's really, you know, he's matured. He's going to take the next step next year at Fresno Pacific. So, I mean, he's going on to the next level. And, he, you know, he's worked hard. I mean, he's conscientious and he wants to be good. Yeah, but he likes to have a lot of fun. I mean, he keeps us loose at practices, definitely.
You got to have those guys on the team, and especially your catcher, right? Yeah. He's going to be a leader. People are going to look up to him.
Yeah, he is a leader. You know, he does a good job with that. And Gunner's kind of the old man on the staff, you know, I mean, on the team. He's been on the varsity for 4 years. He's kind of the calming influence. You know, he finds a negative situation, turns it into a positive. He's just been a pleasure to coach. He's had a good year. He's going to play at COS next year, and so these kids are going on, and that's the vision of the program. We measure our success by how many kids go on, and we have quite a few going on this year. So,
Bodie, I want to go back to the game a little bit. We got Gavin that's going to come on in a couple minutes here, but you know, you've handled a pretty darn good pitching staff over the last couple of years, and this year there's some arms, but this guy, he stepped up to the mound and threw one of the great games, right?
It was, yeah.
So describe what it was like for you behind the plate, knowing anything you put down, this guy's going to hit his spots.
Well, he just makes my job really easy, you know? Like, on top of him throwing 89, 90 miles an hour, he can spot it up wherever he wants. You know, I'm never guessing where it's going to go. So we have a lot of options with that. You know, we can come in, we can come out, off speed, blow it by him. We just have a lot of wiggle room with him. And I feel like for some catchers, like their pitchers, they don't have a lot, like they have one pitch, and then Gavin has four that he can throw for strikes like consistently. It just makes it easy to call a game and to catch it.
Did you know at a certain time in that game that Gavin was on? It was like, okay, this dude's throwing right now. Is there a certain pitch or that you remember?
You can normally tell in the bullpen when he's going to be good. I think it all comes down to whether he can spot up his fastball and his cutter, because those are like what we throw the most. And I remember there was a strikeout pitch. He like threw a cutter, and it probably like ended up in the lefty's batter's box, and the kid just swung right through it like it was middle. And at that moment, I was like, these kids are all guessing. Like, they have no clue what he's going to throw. They have no clue where it's going to be. And they were just hoping to like just make contact. They weren't trying to drive anything.
And so the final out was a strikeout, but the ball was in the dirt and got away, and you had to make that throw to first. Were you what was going through your mind at that time? Like, okay, I got to gun this. This could be it.
I was laughing. Whenever you get a ball and you throw it to Gunner, he's always at first base smiling, and it always makes you laugh. So like, I picked the ball up, and I could see him sitting there with like smiling at me. I'm like, oh my God, just don't throw this in the right field right now.
Yeah, I wanted that last out ball.
I like just put it in his glove.
What'd you do with the ball, Gunner?
I kept it
in your back pocket.
Yes, that's exactly what I did. I kept it, but then I gave it to at practice yesterday. I gave it to the team. We're gonna all sign it and then keep it in the team room. So last out ball.
Awesome. That's perfect. So future plans next year, obviously. Fresno Pacific,
yeah.
Right? Fresno Pacific, and then COS.
Yes.
When you guys look back at your career, again, you guys still have hopefully three games to play left in your career in the state playoffs, but when you guys look back at being a Viking and playing in this program for all that time, what are some of your great memories? Obviously the championships, but what are some other memories that you guys have?
I always tend to look back at my time on JV. I really thought that was the best thing for me, you know, getting to – experience like how those high school feel without the pressure of having to perform so much. I thought that my time on JV really prepared me to like shine on varsity, and like just the team I was with at the time and the friend people I was with at the time.
Was Coach Hall your coach?
Yeah, Coach Hall.
Coach John Hall. I've known John for a long time.
Audie Hall.
Gunner, what about you? What are some of your great memories at Kingsbury?
My favorite memory is, of course, Wind Valleys, but also going to the coast. I mean, we all go there for business, but then, of course, at night, we have some free time. We all go to each other's rooms, play Madden. We went to – there's a Boomers right by next to the hotel, play mini golf and everything. So we all have a good bond, like team bonding time there and everything. This year it didn't really start off great since the Pioneer Valley, but we also had a good time, then made sure the next day that we were going to win that game, so – I feel like that was a great time.
So the first game you mentioned, Pioneer Valley, was that the game you guys lost but threw a no-hitter?
Yes.
Yeah.
That.
So you start off the year losing but throw a no-hitter in that one. But you guys got the last laugh of your D3 champions. Okay, a couple more things. I want to stick with you guys for a while. All right, in batting practice, who puts on a better show?
Me, bro.
No, okay. No.
This is what happens.
No.
You got some nose here.
Me, bro.
It's pretty good between the two of them.
Pretty good.
And then you throw Jensen and Matt Ward in there. It's
shout out Matt Ward.
Good.
Yeah, Matt Ward just takes a hack.
He don't care.
No,
huh?
He don't. That's a hack every at bat.
Me and Gunner try to like make a line, like a sports line, to see how many we can put over.
Yeah, usually the line is about 5.5 for both of us combined. So like 5.5 home runs, BP. So
Jensen normally gets 7 on his own.
Yeah.
Yeah. Put it this way, it costs me about $45 every time we take BP because we can't find baseball.
Yeah.
Hey, Gavin got one yesterday.
Hey, yeah, Gavin did get one yesterday.
Yeah?
And Sam.
Sam Farley. Wind. Who cares about that wind?
One thing I wanted to interject about Bodie when you asked him about Gavin. Bodie calls all our pitches. We don't call pitches.
I noticed it, yeah.
He's done it for 2 years, you know. So, I mean, it's a testament to him because he's working with a pitcher. He knows what's going on. So, give him free rein. We'll suggest in certain situations, but I'd say about 95% of the pitches Bodie calls.
And I think I saw you only shake him off a couple times, right? Just a couple times. All right, I'm going to go with this pitch. Yeah. No? Did he shake you off?
Well, we have like a designated like shake call.
Okay.
But
yeah, maybe that's it.
The last pitch was his. The last pitch was his. He wanted the curveball.
It was a curveball, and he got it. All right, last thing before I bring Gavin in here with you two guys. Best places to eat in Kingsburg. What do you got?
Hey, shout out to Nick Palm. Usually the one who likes going out to eat after practice, but hey, after every practice Wednesdays, we go out to eat. Usually Roadhouse Stacked or Chico's, one of those three.
Yeah.
So
Mondays we normally go get Yum Yum, like some frozen yogurt.
Yeah.
We got our spots that we hit like every week.
Yeah, we've all been playing for a long time together, so the team chemistry is there and everything. So we like being with each other and everything. So
absolutely, that's it, right? It's the memories that of playing together, the bus rides, the hitting bombs in practice, the competition, all that stuff is what makes high school sports in general, make the lasting memories. So thanks, you guys. Come on, we're gonna keep it rolling here. Let's bring in the pitcher here, the winning pitcher, Gavin Akeesian. Come on in here, Gav. Oh, it's photo time as well. So we'll put those headsets down. Keep Coach Cranford here. And this Vikings team, like we mentioned, they threw a no hitter in the first game of the year, and that's a tough loss to Pioneer Valley, and then come back, and they're currently 25-7, went 9-3 in league. All right, can you hear us okay there, Gav?
Yeah.
All right, Gavin Akeesian. All right, so if you guys missed it, I pumped this guy up in throwing one of the best games in Central Section history. Complete game, four hitter, 11 strikeouts, no walks, one hit batter, and here's the stat that I've been waiting to tell you guys: through 99 pitches, 79 were strikes. So the kid only threw 20 balls all game in the 7-inning game. Pretty darn amazing. And I know, Coach, too, let me just start with you. There was a game plan, right? And you only want to throw maybe 90 to 95 pitches, but this dude, he started it, and you let him finish.
Yeah, I don't like our kids to go that much. And I talked to Jake, and he said he's good. And I said, well, I don't want him anything over 90. And so I was told a certain pitch limit going into the seventh that wasn't completely accurate. And then, because we had two guys ready to go, Zach Tackett was ready to go and Jensen was ready to go. But Gav was, he was sailing, he was attacking the zone all night and had real good command of probably all four pitches. So, I mean, I know it's good when I'm not yelling at him. So, and I don't think I yelled at him one time and he got after it. And like I said, he was ahead in the count probably 99% of the time. And it's a good effort, great effort, did a great job.
So, Gavin, when did you know you had your good stuff? I heard your pregame warm-ups were on point. Coach Jake Woods, who pitched in the major leagues, a Kingsburg grad, said you had great stuff before the game. Did you know you're going to have a good game? Everything was just in sync even before you stepped onto the mound?
Yeah, it started before the pregame. Even before I started warming up, I saw when Fowler walked in front of our dugout to go to theirs, I just saw the kind of fear or shock about the whole field and kind of like they weren't ready for the game, and I just got a shock of confidence at that point, so I just knew I was going to be able to roll straight through them if I had control and just stayed under.
Do you think that was the best game you've ever pitched in your life?
It was close to it, yeah.
And I know you had some injuries. You had to be shut down for a while in the middle of the season. Is that the strongest get you've ever felt this season, maybe in your career?
It's the strongest I've felt in a while, for sure. I mean, I had some shoulder problems, but I was able to recover quicker than I thought I would, so it was nice to feel that.
So were you at the point on the mound where – you didn't have to think about mechanics, mm-hmm. right? So sometimes, even at the plate, right, you got to think, oh, I got to keep my shoulder, or whatever, right? And those are usually the times when you're going to struggle. But when you don't have to think about things, that's when things are flowing. Was that the case with you? You're like, just give me the ball, I'm just going to pitch?
I mean, yeah. I definitely don't try to think about mechanics, but when I'm just rolling and getting ahead in the count every single time, it's hard not to just keep going and want the ball right when I throw, so...
I think he had really, really good rhythm on Thursday night, as far as on the mound, boom, boom. He did really good flow. I mean, that's the best I've seen that. I think the other game he threw really well this year was the De La Salle game. He had good command in that game too, and we didn't score any runs, but that's a pretty good job. He threw against the ninth-ranked team in the state, so, yeah.
Do you think that game prepared you? Obviously, you missed that time in the middle, but that game early in the season really prepared you for that big moment going against those big dudes from De La Salle?
No, yeah, definitely did. I mean, I went in not knowing what to expect, but I knew I just had to be myself and give it my all, because if I went in with no confidence at all, I was just going to get rocked. That's just how it works.
Coach, I'm impressed with Gavin and the dog mentality, right? That's kind of what the kids say now. Dog mentality that he had on the mound. Is that something that he has had to develop? You guys have had to coach him with that. Is it something that's been innate with him, or what's the process with him in that?
Let him answer that one.
It really came to me this summer. I played with a really good team, and I just gained that sort of confidence. Like I keep saying, it's just, I don't know how to put it.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's a jump, right? So
yeah.
Kids that have ability, right? They got super, maybe it's hitting or maybe it's basketball wise, but then just the jump in confidence to go to the next level. Sometimes it's not easy for kids, right? Sometimes coaches got to yell and try to get out of you and look you in the eye and get on you different ways. But you said this summer, it's just something just clicked.
Yeah. I mean, I had a lot of good starts this summer, but I just noticed that I gained confidence that my stuff was good enough to beat the hitters. And I didn't have that before. I was always like overthinking every pitch that I was going to throw. But once I gained confidence in pitches, I just started going after it.
Mowing them down, perfectly yeah. Said right there. I'm talking to Gavin Akeejian, who threw a complete game 4-hitter and beating Fowler 8-0 on Thursday. All right, Gavin, I want to ask you about Fresno State, right? You committed to Fresno State. You're a junior, so you still have your senior year to play ahead of you. How did that transpire? Did they see you in the summer? Did they, did they contact you maybe your sophomore year, or how did that all take place?
I went to a camp, I think a week before I committed, and it was just right after I threw, I think the only hit I gave up that camp was against Holden Hirschhorn, and he hit double off the wall the right center. And after that, I kind of just calmed myself down and started going. And they called me out after my 2 innings, talked to me, and got my number. And then after that, it just clicked.
Was it an easy decision?
It was easier than you would think, because close to home, family would be able to come to games. And, I mean, I've lived there. I've grew up here. So.
Yeah, watching Bulldog baseball.
Yeah.
It was Houston that hit the double off you?
Holden.
Oh, it was Holden. Did he wink at you? Or what did he do? Did you smirk?
We had a little moment when I looked at him that second. But.
You're like, you little sucker.
Yeah.
You little sucker. All right. Coach, I want to ask you about the process of this year's team. Right? You got a lot of really good seniors. You got some young guys I want to talk about in a second that you're going to have returning. But, you know, every season has their own journey. This one's still not over yet. You know, what has been the journey of this season? Like, did the seniors take charge? Like, hey, you know, Valley or bust?
Well, this group has been together for a long time. This is the group that went back, won the World Series, and so they're all friends. And the thing about all being friends, they don't want to make each other mad. So that's where my role comes in, and I pretty much let them go. They run their thing, but. Once in a while, I have to bring them back to reality, and they'll tell you I have no problem with that whatsoever. But it's a mature group. They enjoy each other. They play the game right. They treat each other right. They treat other teams right, other people right. They're good in the classroom. They're good kids. They're good, children to their parents. The parents are good people. It's just a unique situation. It comes around. We've been lucky enough to have it 2 years in a row, but it doesn't come around that often. I've been doing this for 40 years, and you get teams like this sporadically, but it's a pretty special group, pretty special group.
And the future looks pretty bright as well. You got some dudes coming back, including this guy.
We'll be different. We've got Gav coming back and Jensen and Eric Garcia, Kyle Garcia, Nick Lindgren, but we're going to be young next year. We're going to be young. Probably won't have the pop that we have this year other than the older kids. But a pitching will be good.
All right, a couple more things here. We got about another minute or so. So state game next week. You know, last year you guys lost in the first round at home. Is it, you think, again, right, talk about the experience of playing Dos Palos at Valley Strong Ballpark compared to this year. You think the guys are going to be a little, you know, a little jazzed for this coming game? It's going to play out a little different?
Well, when I scheduled this year, I scheduled with state in mind. So I knew if we played De La Salle and played them tough, Clovis West, that we weren't going to get in a situation where it was going to be too big for us. And the one thing that we have more of this year, more depth on the mound. So we can go into that three-game schedule and we can run, you know, four or five guys out there that are all different. We have two strikeout pitchers, you know. I mean, Jensen Gavin, they're the ones who are going to throw balls by people. And then you got Zach Tackett, Holden, Eric Garcia, Ethan Salazar, Houston, that are going to keep us in the ball game to suck up innings. So, I mean, I think we have the pitching to get through that deal as long as we hit.
All right, good stuff. Gavin, again, congratulations on the fantastic year so far and that great game that you pitched on Thursday. It's one that people are going to be talking about and remembering for a long time, so congratulations.
Thank you.
All right, Coach Cranford, and thanks for coming in. Thanks for driving these boys up.
These guys drove themselves. All right, they're probably going in and out on the way home. So.
Always about food.
Oh, no.
There he goes. All right. Who's all paying right. for it? All right. Who's paying?
They're going somewhere else.
All right. Kingsburg Vikings, back-to-back champs after beating Fowler. Thank you guys for coming, driving up. I really appreciate it. And good luck the rest of the way.
Thank you.
Thanks, Paul, for all you do. Really appreciate it.
You bet. All right. We'll take a picture here and come back. We got Labby in the house. Josh Madera is going to be talking about baseball in the Valley and much, much more on 1430 ESPN. Frog Rock there. Love it. Joe Gomez back at home base producing the show. Keeping us on our toes. Yeah, Kingsburg in the house. I think that's the first time we've had three players under coach, so we're able to rotate. But I don't wanna, you know, sound like I'm pumping it up too much, but I'm not kidding. That game that Gavin threw on Thursday, I mean, that dude was just pumping it, man. Just low strikes. Only one bad pitch when he hit a guy, right? That was the only bad pitch. Four singles, they're all weak. You know, he's a Fresno State commit for a reason, right? They're not offering, you know, chumps out there. And so that dude, yeah, he threw a really good game. So thanks to Kingsburg High Baseball for coming into First String Sports and talking about their season. And it's not over yet. They'll be playing in the state playoffs, and they're in it to win it, right? I liked what Coach Cranford said. He's like, I scheduled with state in mind. And you hear that every once in a while. We know you're going to have a special group of ball players. All right, so we got Josh Lamadera in the house. We've been trying to get him on the show all season, so it's worked out perfectly for him to come in here live at First String Sports. Played in major leagues, current Boston Red Sox area scout, covers NorCal, obviously here in the Central Valley as well. Played at Fresno State, drafted by the Expos. You want to talk about baseball cards first a little bit? We want to get through some stuff, man.
I know we kicked off with baseball cards right out the gate. It gets the mind going. But, yeah, whichever direction you want to go.
All right, maybe towards the end. All right, so what's on the agenda for today? Are you going to go watch some baseball, or are you going to be driving up and down state? What do you got going today?
You know, the D1 season's coming to a close. Didn't have a conference tournament this year coverage, so went to Cal Poly, watched them wrap up the season. This time of year is just kind of checking in on guys. Pretty much done all the legwork, met with them. Still have some final, you know, T's to cross and I's to dot. But just checking in on guys, making sure they're hurt, they're finishing the season healthy. You know, guys getting eliminated, updating the group, letting them know. And then inviting guys to workouts that maybe – you know, we anticipated we're going to a regional that might not be going to a regional from the college side. And then, you know, adding a few couple, you know, an arm here or another high school position player that maybe burst onto the scene a little bit later. So, you know, just backtracking, making sure every rock is uncovered and just trying to make sure I've covered everybody.
How far south do you go? Usually, I mean, we'll talk about Bakersfield a little bit here, but how far down south?
I go to Bakersfield, and then I shoot east, or excuse me, shoot west, and pretty much Santa Maria is kind of like the, you know, Bakersfield, Santa Maria, and then north all the way up to the Oregon border, and then into western Nevada. So Nevada is not too difficult. You can hit, you know, Carson usually has a player. There's a, you know, last couple of years there's been 2-3 players up in Reno, so it's got me up that way. But typically I float quite a bit around San Jose, Sacramento. You know, we've been fortunate, had some players the last couple of years, not so many, but this area always produces some. We just go in cycles though, man. You kind of see it, like this area kind of once every 12-15 years we get a first rounder, second rounder. That one year we had 2-3 kids that were up there with Salazar, and the following year you have Ortiz, mm-hmm. and Gatewood, and Kemp was getting scouted pretty hard. So we've been doing a good job. This area always produces really, really good college players that eventually go to college and get drafted. Typically we're not as sought after as like the San Diego or the Southern California high school kid. You know, there's something about the Central Valley. One, I don't think a lot of guys get here frequently on my end. So, I mean, that puts me in an advantage per se, because I know the area pretty well. But it's just one of those areas. It's not as high profile, and we do produce really good baseball players, though.
Well, you mentioned something interesting. You said produces a lot of college players, right? The Central Valley produces college kids as, you know, related to maybe being drafted, right? Why is that so?
The college stuff, I just think some guys aren't ready, particularly from a physical standpoint. Typically, they need those 3 years to kind of gain a little bit more strength. And you know, more so it's like an emotional thing, man. You're taking these dudes, and we're going to send them out to Florida. They're going to be on their own. It's 8 o'clock in the morning. They're at the ballpark, and they're not stepping foot on the van back to the hotel till 5:30 sometimes after weights. So it's a complete, like, lifestyle adjustment, yeah, for these guys. So typically, you know, the ones that are ready, they stick out, I'll be honest. You can tell a kid that's ready to sign, and then there's always little signs that kids probably should go to college. And you know, statistically speaking, like, or, you know, the statistics have shown that it's probably better off to go to school. But I think it boils down to, like, it's a case-by-case situation. Each case is different. Each kid's different. But this area does produce a lot of good college baseball players. I think it speaks to the reputation of the coaching that we have that goes on here. You know, I scout a lot of different areas. I'm in and out of San Jose, Sacramento. And this area in particular is one of the only areas that takes batting practice. Mm-hmm. They take a full pregame. They're very, very serious. They're out scouting other teams. You don't see that when I go other places. These guys are serious around here, and obviously it's shown in the type of players that come out. Maybe not necessarily right ready for pro ball right out of high school, but after 3 years of school and 4 years of school, these kids are going out and, you know, we're getting guys to the big leagues.
Yeah, I've seen that in other sports as well. I've seen it in basketball, right? We talk about the Central Valley kids, how they're tough and the practices are hard. And, you know, you think SoCal, you think it's like, I'm thinking basketball, right? AAU and high school coaches just kind of roll the ball out. They got dudes. Sometimes they don't even know what guys are coming in, right? But I think baseball in the Central Valley is different. I've seen tons of practices. Mm-hmm. I think our Central Valley baseball coaches absolutely get after it. They cover every situation. Interesting what you said about batting practice, right? Is there a different mentality between, you know, some of the SoCal things that you've seen or heard, talk to other scouts, compared to the Central Valley kids, as far as maybe we're tougher? You know, they got the flash down there, you know, they got 95, 96 routinely. It's once maybe every 5-6 years we got a kid like that. But is that kind of a fair comparison or not?
Yeah, on a consistency level, like, you're going to see the better arms more often down there. There's just there's more people, there's more players. So those leagues are typically impacted with more higher end type of players. Maybe, you know, more on a pro scale, kids that we'd like to scout, that are, have more now tools, not as projectable. Most of the kids are, you know, most of these kids project well. But then again, you're sitting around a crystal ball hoping that everything, you know, you're imagining everything and it is all going to come to fruition. But, you know, the Southern California, they're playing year-round. I mean, I do see that. They're going hard in December. Like, they're playing full games. It's a full winter league, and then they roll right into the spring. So they're blessed with really wonderful weather all the time. Not that ours is bad, but it's pretty much sunny down there and warm 95% of the year. So those dudes are out and they're on the diamond, and maybe it's just because those guys, and I don't want to say it's because they play more, because I don't think that's why you get better. And we can talk about that later, but it's just, I think that the competition is on a higher, typically year in, year out, there's more kids from Southern California getting drafted. And that's just, I think it's because population.
I'm thinking like Hunter Green, right? Like kind of guys that are pumping 99 consistently in high school. It's pretty rare for the Central Valley to get a dude like that.
When you look at it too, I mean, look at the college grand scheme of things. Like the SEC players they get valued at a higher level than a kid at Fresno State or San Diego State or San Jose State. I don't like saying it, and it's unfair, but that's the reality of it. Front to back, it's a better conference. They're facing tougher pitching. On the weekends, man, everybody's buzzing 92, 94 mm-hmm. out there. West Coast, man, it's a much lighter year this year for us. I'll tell you, it doesn't stack up near to the years that it did when I first started scouting back in 2015, 2016. We're definitely seeing a big shift towards the east in that Southeastern Conference. And around here in the state, like you see, you know, Northern California, Elk Grove had a really big run of first rounders
Moniak and those guys, right?
Well, no, Moniak's a Southern California kid.
Okay.
But Derek Hill, you had J.D. Davis, you had Dylan Carlson, Coach Carlson up at Elk Grove.
Got it.
They had, you know, 5-6 years in a row where they're spitting out Nick Madrigal first rounders, you know, so – it goes in cycles, man. It really does. But Southern California kind of is the king when you're looking at amateur, draftable kind of guys. That's where the hotbed is, per se.
Well, can you talk about some names here in high school who impressed you, who's on your radar, who are some dudes around here?
Probably the kid I'm going to go see tonight would be Brock. He's a really – interesting type of athlete, loose, wiry body. He's got some buggy whip to his swing. There's bat speed. He's made some really good adjustments this year. He's using the whole field. He popped a home run last game against Clovis North. Just an interesting, very projectable athlete who plays with a little chip on his shoulder. It's kind of fun to watch him. He's got a little I don't know what I can say on the air here, but he's a tougher type of kid.
A Cutter Coffee, right?
Oh, yeah, he's cut from a similar cloth as Cutter. Cutter was kind of a little bit quieter, man. Like, he just kind of did it. Brock's got a little flair to his game, a little bit flashier at shortstop. but he's a kid that we've been scouting pretty hard. Beckett Zavoric over at Bullard. And I'll be honest, man, he turned it up a notch over the summer. I don't think he was a kid that a lot of teams had on their radar, given he'd gone through, some injuries last year with his elbow and stuff, and he had to sit out towards the end. But as the summer progressed, the stick card started coming along, and then he got out to shortstop, and you got to see his ability at shortstop. They're really smooth, easy defender, really plush hands, has a real good body clock, internal clock. He just knows, man, how much arm he needs here and there, and he has more arm than one might think. He goes in the six hole, he can put the foot down, and he can stretch it out a little bit. And in the box, I think the thing for him is one of the knocks was how he ran. Over time, I think, it might back up and stuff, but he's such a good baseball player. If you look at him, he's a very well-rounded player. He knows the game. He knows what he does well. And he's a kid, if he doesn't sign, he'll go off to Arizona State and he'll play right away. And, he'll have an opportunity to accrue some numbers that our people like. And he goes out and performs, and in 3 years, his name will be in the top three rounds. That's kind of how it works out for guys like him. So worst case scenario, as I tell these kids when I go in their house, it's like, hey, man, what's the worst case scenario next August? And they're like, well, I'm at Arizona State or Stanford or Cal. Hey, man, that's not a bad situation to be in. So, especially prior to the season, it's like, I see a lot of kids that they get to their draft here and, man, they tighten up and they just aren't themselves. And that's, boom, college. Just go to college, dude. But a lot of kids, they just need to go to school. And if the worst case scenario is they're starting at Cal as a freshman, that's a pretty good thing. So, like I said, it's case by case. Every kid's wired a little different. Every kid's raised a little different. So some are more so ready than others.
You mentioned West Coast is a little bit down, right, compared to everything moving towards the East, and the SEC just has some dudes every year. right? We just talked to a couple seniors from Kingsbury to talk about COVID, right? Mm-hmm. You know, the COVID season was wiped out and coming out of that. And that COVID season that was wiped out in high school baseball, man, that was going to be a really good one. I'm thinking about the arms, thinking about the track. The track was going to be loaded that year. You're going to have Ishan Henderson at West. You're going to have Beal at Clovis and Aon at Buchanan. Those dudes were pumping night. And there were some other pitchers in there that could throw. Seems like this year, I know Bakersfield Christian has a dude, has a lefty, TCU. Our arms a little bit down as well, right? Like, I'm seeing good pitchers, you know, pitchers that are, you know, at the track level are throwing 80, 82, 83. And that didn't used to be the case.
No, it's interesting. I talk to guys about it all the time. But, well, we've got a lot of pitching guys around. Guys are running and chasing velocity. And we're seeing some injuries on the back end because of it. I think we're just going through a cycle right now. You know, next year we've got the Keesian kid down at Kingsbury's got a really live arm, good get for Fresno State. John Caston will be a senior. I'd have to look at my pref list a
little
bit.
George is obviously hurt. Missed the year.
You've got the freshman at Clovis North, Davis Wilson, who's got a really live body, live arm, who's got some ceiling to work with. So I'd say, yeah, the pitching has been down, but I think there's some coming along, which will be good. So every year there's always a kid that ends up popping as the season goes. But right now, like, the pitching's kind of, you know, we're seeing some kids that can pitch a little bit, but we're not seeing the velocity that typically we have in the past. And like I said, which is surprising considering we have everybody chasing it.
Yeah.
just like they're chasing the home run swings.
Sure.
So.
Sure. Talking with Josh Lamadera, scout for the Red Sox, a Valley dude, knows the Valley really, really well. So I want to ask you, we got about 9 minutes here. All right, so from COS to Fresno State to Pro Bowl, you've seen it all. I'm thinking more of the high school, right? I think this is the eighth game that Mike Brink and I are going to be broadcasting. Watched a lot of high-level track baseball over the last, you know, or baseball in the Valley, I should say, over the last 9 years or so. Have you seen a shift, Josh? I know you're a scout and you're looking at individual players, but from dudes that are, you know, not necessarily playing for their school, playing for a Valley championship, but more individualistic, right? So you see guys that are posting their, you know, their velo on Twitter, you know, going to these camps and going to this and that and trying to chase scholarships and chase the recognition. Has that superseded the school that you're representing across your chest? I mean, it's kind of a controversial subject, but from your perspective, what are you saying?
Man, I know that's the way of the world these days. I just don't agree with it. I think the way you play on the field speaks for itself. I think the word of mouth. I hear about a lot more players because of people I know, as opposed to popping on Twitter. Usually I get burned on Twitter, man. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
Like, you get guys that are posting fake velocities and, you know, I'm seeing 92, 93 on Twitter, but I roll in, it's 86, 87, you know. I'm not seeing a lot of guys that are getting missed on, to be honest with you. Like, I don't roll into junior colleges and say, man, why is this guy at a JUCO? I think that's kind of the way it is, and I think that's how people are going about it and getting coaches' attention. Is it working? I don't think so, because I'm seeing a lot of kids that do get committed off Twitter that are ending up in the portal really fast. I think we're just making it easy for these kids these days. It's, you know, nobody has to go into a program and fight tooth and nail to earn, and I say earn. Kids don't want to earn things anymore. They want things given to them. And that's a big thing I talk about at Scout Ball is, like, man, if you want to be a big leaguer, you have to go and earn it. Nobody's going to give it to you, man, because there's, you know, it's an international game, man. Those guys in the Dominican, dude, they're coming to this country. If they don't play well and they don't succeed and get to the big leagues, they go back to poverty, dude. You know, and they're playing for their livelihood. You know, the American kids, it's like we owe them something to play sometimes. But I just go back to the, you know, we're probably alluding to some transfer stuff here, but, you know, what are we teaching our kids at the end of the day? Are we teaching them to stand up and battle and give put forth your best effort? And if it's not good enough, it's not good enough. Or do we just say, hey, we're going to bounce and go somewhere and make it easy for you? Oh, hey, there's no shortstop over here. Boom. Well, what happens if somebody comes in now? It's going to challenge you. What, you're going to up and hop in the portal again? It's hard now because I'm raising kids, you know, and you want to teach them, hey, no, you know, if you're not good enough, then that's when we put in the work to become good enough. And if your ability level takes you to that level, then, hey, man, it's meant to be. But, you know, it's not meant to be for everybody. Not everybody's going to play in the big leagues. Not everybody's going to be able to be a Division I athlete. So, I'm staying off the Twitter, dude. Like, I don't want to – man, I get scared when I see a Twitter post or another scout will say, hey, man, did you see that kid throw 94? It's like, oh, man, here we go running down another dude. But, you know, I think you advertise yourself by the way you play, man, in the word of mouth. I really do. I tell kids, man, be boring. You talk about social media. I've seen more nonsense social media this spring than I've ever seen. It's absurd. It's becoming more of a production than actual playing games. You know, these kids, their images and what they're putting across. I mean, I've always been the type of player that and person that believed in, man, I'm going to look at you the way you play on the field, man, not what you do off the field. That's cute. That's a sideshow to me. I want to see the substance, the meat and potatoes of the player, not the antics and the you know, and we can get into antics too. I guess you throw me on the old school bus, but hey, that's what I grew up and I was raised in, and I believe in respecting the game, and I think when we're allowing a lot of garbage to go on these days.
Coach Cranford, who was just on the show, he's, you know, Fresno State guy, Bennett guy, old school, whatever you want to call it. And even after the game, right after they won a Valley Championship, he's not jumping around. It's not about him. And he gets it. And he's like, I just want my kids to represent their school and their town. Yeah. Right. And he's like, if win or lose,
yeah,
right, I want them to represent it, because that's what people will remember, uh-huh, right, how you take losses as well. And I think a lot of that's been lost, especially in baseball. All right, we got time flies. We got about 5 minutes here, Labby. All right, who are some dudes, like, best players you've ever scouted? What are some names out there? You're just like,
oh,
man, that this guy, God gave him something special.
Well, I mean, I got to see Jackson Holliday for a week.
Wow.
He was a really good player. It was fun to watch him. You know, I'll go back to, like, my first year scouting, Nick Madrigal. You talk about just a baseball rat. You know, he wasn't flamboyant. You wouldn't see him on Twitter saying he went 4-for-4. You know, he just went out and played the game. Nico Horner was another one that I really enjoyed. Just the dude's just straight baseball, man. Like, he loves it. He grinds and you watch the way he plays, and the way he plays is the way he prepares, man. It's like hard nose, gritty, just that will to win, man, and the hating to lose. I think it's really easy for kids to win. It's easy. Oh, I love winning. Well, man, you should hate losing, in my opinion. Guys I talk to, I always ask, hey, do you love to win or hate to lose? Man, I'm hoping they tell me I hate to lose, because that guy's going to find a way to win. I think the guys that love winning, they like doing it their way, man. That sometimes they're not willing to sacrifice something for the betterment. It's more about themselves. So, you know, but him, and I mean, obviously, I mean, I got a first rounder back in the day, and I think he's a pretty special player. Nick York, Tyler Soderstrom was another quality player. Kyle Harrison. I mean, you're talking about 2020. That 2020 could have been an amazing draft year in Northern California that year. I mean, I'm looking at my list here. You've got York, first rounder, Soderstrom, first rounder, Kyle Harrison, third rounder, Tommy Troy, eventually first rounder, TJ Nichols, sixth rounder, Aon Sine, Susak, first rounder, Chase Davis, first rounder, Cole Kerrig, second, third rounder, Eddie Park, sixth rounder, Juwan Rotz-Brown from Hanford, second, third rounder. I mean, I can go on. There's probably 25, 30 high school kids alone in 2020 that got cheated in COVID, just in Northern California. I mean, hands down, it's the best draft class I have scouted, front to back, from the pitching to the position players. Like, it was deep. And we see now, when you look back, the guys that went in the first round, the guys went in the top five rounds. So 2020 was probably, I mean, on a whole, one of the best scouting years I think I've seen.
That's awesome. We got about 2 minutes here talking with Josh Lamadera. For the parents out there that are listening, right, and let's say they got a pretty good, you know, their son's a pretty good ball player, or even softball, right, doesn't matter. What's the difference? Talk about travel ball. You hear travel ball. What's travel ball these days? What's the difference between a travel ball that's going to help their son or daughter, right, progress, or just travel ball where, you know, maybe somebody's making some money and traveling around and having a good time? What's the difference between those two?
There has to be practice. There has to be individualization of his position. There has to be some. You have to work on all assets of the game. I think if you get involved in a travel ball program. Make sure there's a high emphasis on defense as much as offense, as much as, and there's emphasis on base running. You know, we look at the big leagues, base running's horrendous. You know, you need an even balance when you're looking at it. It's not always going and playing games. Like, I'm so sick of it. It's every weekend. It's tournament, tournament, tournament. But I drive by these fields Monday through Friday, and I don't see anybody practicing. You know, the big joke to Allen Iverson, man, we talking about practice. But at the end of the day, that's where your gains are made. It's not in the game. It's an environment that you can control. You go play on the weekend at Granite, I mean, your kid might go out there and play shortstop for 27 innings and get 2 ground balls. He might have 8 at-bats. As to where on the weekend where, man, you can take your kid out and hit him 5 buckets of ground balls. You can go hit 3 buckets of balls in the cage. Yeah, you might not be getting that live atmosphere, but you're isolating what you're working on, man. You can really pinpoint and iron out maybe some of the little wrinkles that are in your game, whether it's, you know, hand placement, body positioning, footwork, whatever it may be. But you have to focus on the foundation side of it. I mean, playing games is great, man. I think Gino Auriemma talked about it on the basketball side. They're seeing the European players progressing quicker than the American players. Why is that? They practice 6 days a week and play one. We play 6 and practice 1. So I think it's a direct correlation, man. If you're involved in a travel ball organization and they actually legitimately practice and you're getting individual work, individual time, individual sessions, that's very beneficial. And not to mention, like, you know, and I don't want to talk bad about people. There are good coaches that didn't play, but check some resumes on these guys, man. Like, just because they've ran a good team and they've recruited good players doesn't mean they're going to teach your kid baseball. That means they're good recruiters. It doesn't mean they're good baseball players or good baseball coaches. So you want to put your kids in an environment where they're going to learn the game front to back, history of the game, understanding situations of the game, why you do certain things. So hopefully you can put your kid in an environment where he's going to get the best of all the worlds, man. Defense, offense, history of the game, some base running, etiquette, you know, how you act. I mean, I see kids act like clowns, man. It's embarrassing sometimes. And some of them are going to learn the hard way, unfortunately. But those are all things I think these coaches and these summer ball guys can whip into shape.
Great stuff, Josh. Yeah, unfortunately, we gotta wrap the show. Gosh darn it, we're going to have you on again because we didn't get to talk about baseball cards. All right, next time. So, Labby, thanks for coming on. Really appreciate you.
Thanks, Paul. Thanks for everything you do for these kids, man. It's great.
Awesome. Thanks to Lizaire Plumbing and Heating, First String Sports, Joe Gomez, Mike Brake, Brett Kendig, Bodie Verners, Gunnar Gehringer, Gavin Akijian, and Jim Cranford. And, of course, Labby will going to be broadcasting the game tonight. Tune in at 7 o'clock, Division I Finals between Clovis West and Liberty. We'll talk to you guys soon.